with the fire element that represented our red and purple. And it's called the Purple Star. And it is in the center now for the entire year. And each of the 12 animals has a number that is right on top of your animal direction in the compass for an entire year. And so let's talk about the East for just briefly, because we were talking about the number 7 star that's in the middle that lives in the West. We're going to talk about the East because the number 7 star went to the East for the entire year. That's where the number 7 star is for the year. So we're going to do, remember, as what we call a cure for this. And in feng shui, since the 7 star came from the West and it's a metal star, we can cure it with water. And so we can do things like put water, images of water. Remember, if you're going to put out you could put out a bowl of water. It can be this simple. Make sure that it's clean all the time. And a few of the animals around that like to drink out of it, but that's a good reason to keep it clean. And also, in feng shui, remember, we want to keep things clean. And always remember to refresh that water. If it's just sitting there like that, you don't want to just forget about it. Remember, because that direction is going to require a little more high concentrated attention. And that's in the East all year long. Animals over there is the rabbit. And so if you're born in the year of the rabbit, you're going to be having more of that come in. So you're going to want to do that cure. And we all do have an East location inside where we live. If we live in one room or if we live in a mansion, we have an East location. And so find where that is and put some clean water over there. Clean it up, especially if you're born in the year of the rabbit. Pay attention to it and put, you know, blue over there at the very least as just a decorative thing to represent water. And in feng shui, the two colors that represent water are black and blue. And then there's also this opalescent, pearlescent. And speaking of pearls, a pearl or something from the ocean, a shell will represent water. You can get creative with your feng shui, or you can be elaborate with your feng shui. And in the ancient Asian days, they will put a blue rhino and elephant as guardians over in the East this year, if that's your direction and what you'd like to do. And there's so much more. If you would like a feng shui consultation, you can email pathfinder1111@gmail.com, and we'll get your birth date. This is how we get your animal. And there are also more fine tunings that we do with you. We'll find your qua number and really, really get your compass directions of good forward, you know, motion. And you can kind of choose what you'd like to activate, or you can go for it. But, you know, there's love and there's wealth and there's health. And this can all be really, really amped up, and it's so simple to do. And you know what? It's fun and it feels good. You're going to feel really good. It's fun to work with the elements. We work in feng shui with 5 elements, and in the order that we work in, whether it's the progression or the other direction or a crisscross of them, it all means a change in what that energy is doing sitting over there. And it's really fun to work with the 5 elements to ground yourself. And it's time for our feng shui fit tip of the day for more grounding of ourselves. Let's talk about stretching for fitness with the breath. And it is different just to stretch, and that's great. with the breath is a little different. And it's a little more, in my opinion, thorough. It goes through a little deeper. And so if you're going to do a stretch for an area that you feel is tight, here's the tip. Remember, there's another side of you. You have either a front side and a back side, or a right side and a left side. This is how we're built. Always do the same stretch on the other side as well. You might be surprised there's something over there that will fix the other side that you didn't know about, because that's how we're built too. And while you're doing the stretch, the breathing into that point area that you feel that is the tightest, that is where your breath is going from what you're envisioning in your mind from your breath. That's where you're putting it. And that's your feng shui fit tip for the day. Breathe into it. And let's do more breathing into our Mother Earth and our favorite Mother Earth critters, the animals.
They can be critters. Hello, everyone. Miedo Chunku Woksape with Jasha. My name is Pathfinder. And we are happy to be here with you with Aloha Healers Network, where we dedicate support to health and healing for all, especially the indigenous peoples, and also the biomedical. So the Eastern medical ways, the Western medical ways, the indigenous medical ways, the spiritual medical ways, for health and healing for all of our relatives, not just the humans, but all of our relatives. We continue our talk on the 28 universal powers. And we're actually in the completion cycle, which is about half of them, to tell you the truth. And these are called the Sundance Altars, and this was compiled by a group of medicine men and spiritual interpreters and men and women of knowledge from up in South Dakota. A group of them got together, and they said, these are 28 universal powers. And so we're working on the second of the Sundance Altars, and that's a very, very, very sacred. It's almost too much to say on the air, but today we're working with what the Lakota call the Wamakashka. And the Wamakashka are all of the animal nations. It's like all of the animal nations as one great energy and group. Or the way they put it was one earth movement. In other words, the movement of life as it supports itself and moves forward as one earth movement. And this is the animal nations, and it's also very closely tied to the emotional sphere of life. And so it has to do with empathy. And it has to do with natural earth telepathy, okay? So all these things are kind of tied into this with the Wamakashka. Now, there's another group, a bigger group called the Makasitomnia. And these are all the beings of the universe and all of the life in the universe that moves in balance with creation and creator. And so the Wamakashka are part of this group, just like we are, and they are particularly, it has to do with the earth nations, the earth animal nations. And so we have quite an active yard here. You know, here in Arizona, we're in spring at this point, and we've got a little bit more spring before the heat of the summer comes. And the animals are out there. They're having fun, the quail and the squirrels and the other birds and whatnot. So part, in a way, of this, we are part of this One Earth movement as humans. We're very closely related to the Wamakashka. One of the chiefs of this group is the deer, the deer nation. And I view this as the white-tailed deer, though others see the black-tailed deer, which is the mule deer, and others see the little deer, like the Cherokee, talk about the chief who's known as Little Deer. So the Deer Nation is one of the leaders of this, and as such, they have power over the heart, they have power over the mind, and they're guardians of innocence and truth. And so I kind of broke that down for you. The white-tailed deer has the power over the heart. For this reason, many of the people in like South Dakota are kind of stay away from that white-tailed deer because they fear that the deer could do something to their hearts. And so they're very, very respectful. The black-tailed deer has the power over the mind, and it's very potent as well. And so the men and women that work with this black-tailed deer get a lot of respect from their communities because of the potency of both the doctoring and of the movement of energy. And then little deer is a guardian over those who have given their lives so that they could be food for others. And so particularly when we go out to hunt, we're hunting the Deer Nation, we make sure to ask first, and then we make sure to say thank you, and we make sure to put that sage in that deer's mouth and to pray over that deer. And then when the little deer comes to check on the kill, they find the sage in their relative's mouth, and they can feel the prayers, and then it's okay. Then it's okay. Otherwise, the little deer will track down the hunter and give them rheumatism or some other types of debilitating things so that they can't hunt anymore. So it's just a little bit of knowledge about the Deer Nation. Another one of the leaders of the Wamakashka is the heron. And this is the the white egret and the blue heron. Now, these are standalone nations. So if you're working with like the heron energy, you are a leader. It's a leader who stands alone. But what happens is that bird nation, the heron nation, will decide when it's time to go north in the spring or to go south in the fall, and they'll be the first ones to make that direction. And for that reason, they're one of the leaders of the Wamakashka. Now, one earth movement, and this is like a sphere of life all moving together. Part of feng shui is seen in the blessing of our environment, in that there's a lot of movement from the animal nations around us, and this creates a positive energy, and that's part of our outdoor feng shui. Now, as part of the One Earth movement, this is something for us humans here. In the Christian, Jewish, and then slightly Muslim, because all three of those are religions of the book, they look towards the book of Genesis. And in this book of Genesis, after one of the creation stories that's there, it says that, "And humans shall be stewards of the earth." And if you go to King James Version, it gets bastardized a little bit and says, "And the humans shall take control of the earth." But really, it's we are amongst the earth as guardians. This is the original purpose of this. And so the fact that these translations moved from stewardship to domination was the actual word used in the King James Version. Now, I must say the King James Version has some very beautiful literature in terms of poetry, but as far as the translation, it's really awful. And so if you've based your religion on the King James Version, you need to do some research and maybe get a hold of a Lamza Bible, which is done from the original Greek and Aramaic. But anyway, this tendency of moving from the knowledge of stewardship to the idea of domination, this is something within our own egos as humans that is part of our downfall. They said that we fell from grace. Well, it's this type of idea that causes us to fall from grace. And what was one of the falls from grace? One of the falls was the loss of natural telepathy. Okay, so when people get too clumped together, like in the city of Babylon, okay, and then they try to reach too high, they reach beyond stewardship to being dominators, all of a sudden they fall and they lose comprehension and they lose the ability to listen. And so as indigenous people of Mother Earth, let us be one with this One Earth movement, and having our hearts open and understanding that we are a brother and sister of all of our relatives of life, that we hold this natural telepathy. We hold in humility and oneness our connection with the Earth, and thus our connection with all of her children, those that we see and those that we don't see. And so through our hearts, we stay at one with the Mother Earth, we stay at one with life, and we stay at one with this natural telepathy. And this is all about keeping our hearts open. If you need help opening your heart, a really strong suggestion are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous, but the 12 steps. 12 steps help us to connect with ourself. They help us to connect in relationship with our higher power. They help us to overcome the stupid stuff that we've done with our relatives in life that cause blocks or inabilities to communicate or shame and all this stuff. And so if we even just read the 12 steps, it helps us to restore ourselves first as a person, and then secondly as a member of the community, and then thirdly as a child of Mother Earth. And so when we're thinking about the animal nation and when we're feeling about the animal nation, we can come to understand a way of communicating, and it is on the emotive frequency. In other words, the animals can feel our feelings. And thus, when in our heart we hold love for the animal nations and the tree nations and all of the natural nations, when we hold that love and we're coming from the place of innocence and we're coming from the place of the child's mind and heart, the animals respond to us. They feel us and accept us as part of their own, and thus we're part of that One Earth movement. And in a similar way, we can then understand more from them. We can understand through their body language, and we can understand by being sensitive to the emotions that are going on in our area, in our presence. And so in order to be part of life, in order to be part of the animal nations, which we are, we must have an open, healthy heart. And thus we can be part of the great lessons. Now, each of the Wamakashka, each of the animal nations, is an embodiment of God's truth and the Mother Earth's life. And so each of these animal nations watches over part of the natural world for us. The natural world and the mystical supernatural world, for instance, the turtle nation. In ancient and present times, there are creatures that are unholy and unhealthy that still dwell within the regions of earth and sky and, you know, and the, hidden in the different little pockets of the elements in time and space. And these creatures are unhealthy for us, and they're called unqua in one language. But basically, we're supposed to stay away from them. And part of, for instance, are viruses or bacteria or illnesses. But there are also other things like fear or the spirit of hatred. You know, these things also are unholy creatures in their own way. And in the ancient times, the thunder and the lightning, the thunderbirds and the wakia would chase down these creatures. And oftentimes these creatures would find a home in the water. They would go and they would hide themselves in the water. And the thunder and lightning couldn't pursue them there. But then one day, the thunder and the lightning made an agreement with Turtle. And Turtle became the guardian of the waters. And so the turtle could eat and purify and chase away these unholy influences that were trying to flee into the water. And so when we see that turtle in the water, we know that that water is clean, a very helpfulness from the turtle. What else does the turtle bring us? The turtle brings us the understandings of patience. That you don't have to be the rabbit running around to all the four directions, but you can be Grandma Turtle sitting in the center and call the directions to you. Okay, so each of these animal nations have a gift: the squirrel, the buffalo, the eagle, the worm even. You know, this is the praying mantis, the hummingbird. All of these are relatives. And who are we? We are one amongst them, the two-legged and the three-legged.
Hello, Pathfinder
Critters.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network. We really appreciate you and give you great big hugs from us right into you. And we close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Tunka shera de ha pe ko de cha du we lo hai de wa ka ya o wa de na ha ko ping te do ai da ku te ki ka wa nin ching te do De han piku de chanu edo ai.
Aloha.